This is Kurt.
This is Tracy.
I'm Jason.
And this is the MFG Cast.
Hey everybody!
What was that? That was my dorky voice.
I'm a dork. I love board games.
I thought that was your dorky voice is your normal voice.
Zinga, zinga, zinga.
You sounded like a in an old travel adventure movie when the group comes up to a mountain and there's a cave and there's a little man that comes on.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to my cave. Yeah.
The troll from under the bridge.
Yeah. I was thinking Never-Ending Story right between before he has, you know, the couple that are making worm brew and
yes,
whatever.
Yes.
Oh, I like it. You should always talk like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
just
so
use it sparingly today. Just to keep it on our toes. I may have made a mistake.
Use it all the time to where everybody just tunes out.
Hey, do you know that weird voiced guy? Yes, Kurt.
Stop listening to that podcast because his voice is so weird.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually probably better than my real voice, I'm sure.
We were all thinking it.
Yeah. This episode, we're going to be talking about Finspan by Stonemaier Games. It is a predecessor to... It's one of the... God, is this two or three now? Predecessors to Wingspan? So this one is just fishing.
I know.
It sounded really bland.
This is just fishing.
Boo. I love this.
I really do, it was just the way you said it.
This is just fishing.
I know. I actually did it on purpose.
Were you thinking about the other predecessors? Is that why?
Yeah, there's Wormspan, which is a dragon one.
That's the only other one. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
When I went and looked, it's Wingspan, Finspan, and Wormspan.
Yeah.
Which looks cool.
There could be another one coming out.
I might have to buy the dragon one after playing this.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, actually, one thing I was thinking about on the way to get ready for this was that I think there is a tie-in with these games, because out of our group, I was the only one that hadn't played Wingspan. And had anybody played Finspan?
Mike
had. Okay, so I think there is some, as the person that hasn't played any of them, I think there is definitely some cross-referencing, if you want to.
Yeah.
Some skill set or whatever, some tactics. Tactics, that's the word. The tactics that probably cross over a little bit.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those games that you can definitely just jump in and play. If you got a group of four and you want, or however many, and you want to just jump in and play, you can easily do it. But if you have played this one before, your tactics are probably going to be just a little bit different, but very easy to understand. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could play with the three of you right away, even though I had not played this game before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to be able to jump into a game without having to feel like you have to have all the instructions read to you verbatim, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one was very straightforward. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense the way I like games where everything is connected and makes sense, and this is maybe the best game that I've ever played with that, where the game board, because it's all fish, and it's fish in the ocean, and then you're diving. So the board is more or less split into 9 sections, 3 going away from shore and 3 going down into the ocean. So it's more or less gridded out, which makes sense that all the fish that you got and all the sea life goes on the board where it should go. Mm-hmm. And it's all tied together, and then the big fish eat the little fish, and some fish don't eat other fish, and everything is just tied in perfect with this game. I don't know how they could have done it differently to make it fit more realistic to the real world. I love that.
Well, and then the eggs to the little hatchling,
the young.
I couldn't think of it.
Yep.
To the school of fish and how you kind of group them together and things like that.
Circle of life.
Bringing the voices today.
I'm bringing everything today.
Dude, you are.
That's right. And you guys are getting this for free, so, you know.
That's amazing.
I know, right?
He makes us pay for it.
You're welcome.
I do. Yeah.
That is true.
We all pay.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, we all pay. No, I think it's great, because, like, all of that stuff that is individual parts of the game does all tie back to real life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool the way they did that. And then with the interaction with the diving and having to photograph the animal to gain things throughout and everything, I think that that's a really good way to do it.
And then all the facts.
I love all the fish facts.
Thanks to this game, Jason has been fish fact slapping us in the face ever since.
I backed off now. I got told to quit.
He's been, like, just hammering us with fish facts.
This game, I didn't realize how many fish facts I know until...
You know so many fish facts.
Every card that got played, and it'd be like, we'd read the card and discuss what it says and everything. And then I would add more facts because I already knew about that fish. And I was like, after a while, Kurt's just like, you know a lot of these fish. And I'm like, holy shit, I really do.
Well, we even made a game of it, too, where we're like, we'd draw a card and we'd be like, Jason, what do you know about this? And he would Bill Nye the Science Guy us on, you know, what other, you know, what fish he knew about, you know, which was a lot, which is crazy. Dude, I wish I had that much information.
We need to do Wingspan because I know a lot about birds. I did not realize how much I know about fish. So
maybe it'll be opposite. So, like, you didn't realize how much you knew about fish. And you just, like, blew it up.
Maybe
and then,
I'll know less.
Yes, that's what I mean. Maybe you'll be like, oh, I didn't realize I didn't know this much about a titmouse.
God, I know a lot about it. Now I'm going to be all nervous because Bonner Black, like, she's a singer, but she's also a bird watcher. And if she would ever hear this and then I would be talking about birds and would, like, fail, like, I would be embarrassed to ever have anything to do with Bonner Black because I love her because she's a singer and I love music and she's a bird watcher and everything she does on Instagram is bird watching and then she just happens to put on concerts with, you know, thousands of people at them. So I'm always like, anytime I'm doing anything with birds, I'm always like, I wonder if Bonner Black would be impressed by this.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if she.
I don't want to make my parents proud. I want to make Bonner Black proud.
If Bonner Black is proud of me and my bird skill, my bird knowledge. That would make my life. I would be very happy with that. Call me. No, but back to the game. Like it's perfect the way it is laid out with the fish facts, and it's just enough where it's not like in your face. Where it's like forcing education on you, which I'm fine with, but some games it's like they maybe go a little bit too far, where it's all about facts as opposed to playing a cohesive game where this, it's got the facts there, you're learning, it's got the sizes of fish and it's got them grouped into categories and sizes and what they eat and all that stuff, but that's just like there as an enhancing part of the game.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Because like you said, it's got all the facts there for you. You don't need to know them, but they're there for you.
And you don't need to read them.
No.
Like, they're just on the bottom as, like, an extra, like, hey, guess what? Well, did you know?
And if you think about it, all what's on the card gives you so much more information than you realize. So, like, it gives you how big the fish is. It gives you those facts about the fish. It'll have like the icon of where the fish actually will be in the water. Like
those nine grid grades.
Yeah.
Distance from shore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, is it a predator?
Yeah, exactly.
So wasn't it a predator? Is that the term that they used?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because it eats other fish.
Well, if you hate learning, you don't have to learn. You can just use those as references. You know, there's symbols. There's symbols on there, too, so you don't have to actually know. And if you know that the number is larger, you don't need to know about, like, how big really is that?
Yeah.
But
it's just which number is which.
Yeah. But for us being nerds, and especially me apparently being a fish knowledge nerd, it led to some other good conversations about, holy crap, look at this. And then we'd look it up while we were playing, and we'd be like, oh man, look at these photos of this. Like, this thing's really cool. Or, man, we didn't realize they were that size.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It can be just a game where you just sit down and you play based on, you know, the grid and the numbers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or it can be a conversation starter or a mix of the two. It's really cool. I like fish. And some of the names are great.
Oh, my God. So great.
I'm not even going to go into my favorite one.
Yeah.
But read the names, people.
Yeah, read the names. Me. Yeah, they're beautiful.
And they're real.
And they are real. Like, they're not made up. It seems like they
were. Some of them seem like they're made up.
Yeah, some of them you maybe don't want to Google the real name because you might come up with some other things.
You might go to a different website.
Yeah. I love scientists that, like, you know that there's just a guy that's like just nonstop science guy, and he's like, oh, I get to name this one. Yeah. You know, he's just giggling to himself forever. But you also know there's the other ones that are like straight up science and never think with, you know, a dirty mind or whatever, and they just name it, and their friends are like, Mark, you can't name it that, but that describes the fish great. Okay, man, you go ahead and name it that, Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
For any Marks out there, Jason's targeting.
Yes, exactly.
Who are scientists,
of course. When I was a kid, so my name is Jason, and I was born in 1980, and anyone my age, the majority of us my age, I feel like, are named Jason, and I hated that. Like, I grew up in a tiny little town, and there were multiple Jasons when I was growing up. I always disliked my name. So, like, I just wanted to be named something different. And when people would ask me, well, because I was very vocal about it, I do not like my name.
I
don't really care now, like, whatever. But when people be like, well, what would you want your name to be? I always want it to be either Mark or Kevin. And I don't know why. Like, out of all of the
those
names.
Are just as bad.
Did your parents ever tell you, like, if you would have been a girl, that they would have named you blah blah blah?
Yeah, I don't remember, but yes, I used to know what it
I would have been. Justin.
Ooh,
another J name. There's so many.
So many J names.
But my brother's name is Jason.
Oh. Nice.
So that's, and my sister's name is Tina. So it was T's or J's, I think, is why. Maybe. I don't know.
My sister always called me Jason Fina. When she was little, she's quite a bit younger than I am. Hey, Jason Fina. I liked it.
Yeah.
But then my nickname was Jazzy. So I had we have a mutual friend that when she had a daughter, I was like, you need to name her after me. And they're like, we're not naming our daughter Jason. And my sister then, Jasonfina. I'm like, nah, just call her Jazzy. So, like, to this day, she's almost into her teens now. I still only refer to her as Jazzy.
Nice.
I will not.
That's cute.
You know, she will always be little Jazzy.
That's awesome. Okay, so back to the game again, since we keep veering off.
Oh, I was like, how did we get to that? Oh, yeah, Scientist Mark.
Way to go, Scientist.
That's pretty bad.
Mark.
How did we get there? Boy, we've been off. So if you played Wingspan, this is kind of similar in concept as far as how you play stuff on your board. So you're always putting cards down depending upon where they're supposed to be, like we said.
Is it gridded similar?
Yes.
Like how are, what,
yes.
What are the
it
colors?
Goes this way.
Yeah.
It, I'm so showing him it goes horizontally.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, Wingspan goes horizontally where Finspan is vertical.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And still then like a 9 gridded section.
I think so, if I can remember. Maybe more. It's hard for me to remember. Anyway. And the same thing with, like, predatory birds being able to eat other birds to, you know, just same thing with the fish there. Making eggs to making birds. This one is making eggs to making young.
So then do you make a flock in that game?
You don't actually make a flock. No. And I say, what the flock?
Flock
but,
you.
But the cool part about that one is they have, like, real, not real, but they have cool resources for the eggs.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They're like
they
wooden.
They look like little chocolate eggs. And you also
they
roll,
look like Cadbury eggs.
And you also roll dice in Wingspan, which you don't in Finspan, which is interesting. Because you roll dice in Wingspan to get resources for
based on what you roll then?
Yeah, in a tower.
To help feed your birds. Okay. But it's kind of the same thing. It's got your grid. You're able to grow birds and stuff like that. get points, you know, in certain ways. There's also those events at the end of each round or whatever, where you, depending upon where everything is placed, and if
objectives or
goals. So like it's very similar in those ways, but
different enough. I feel,
for sure. And
so
it's weird.
Their own independent games where if you like. Some games with the two different versions, you're playing the same game with different pictures. This one, it sounds like it really is a different game with the same theme.
I think it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I say I think it's different because after we finished playing Finspan, I said, don't totally take my word for it because it's been a while since I played Finspan, but I think I...
Wingspan.
But I think I like Finspan better.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I agree that it's definitely streamlined better than Wingspan is.
Yes, because I always got confused when I played Wingspan. God, they're too close together. Did you see me, like, wheels? I always had to think when I played Wingspan as to where I could go and what I could do, whereas... I feel like your diver just goes down, you stop at all the spots, you do all the things with the stuff, like you can go here, and this comes to that, whereas in Wingspan, I always had to really think about, like, what I could do, and...
The options are just more cohesive.
I don't know, and maybe I'd feel different about it now if I played it, but it's been a couple of years, I think, since we played it, but I don't know, like... My thought when we finished was, I think I like this one more.
Yeah.
I did like how everything was very, like, you can only do what you can do.
Yeah.
But you always have choices almost every turn.
Like you're not stuck.
One of the things, because you dive, and that's how you gain things, is by diving, more or less. That is one of the things that I would pay attention to if we played this again.
Yeah.
Where, like, Mike just dove right away because he didn't like what he had for his cards. I looked at my cards and was like, oh, shoot, well, I can do this. And it got me a pretty good return for what I can do for placing things out there. But then I was kind of playing from behind because I didn't have the assortment of cards to choose from and be able to mix and match. Where I was looking at it going, like, right away, my first initial thought was, okay, I need to get a lot out of this board so that when I dive, I get the most absolute total number of things in return.
Yeah.
Where I think the way to look at it is, what can I get that can help me immediately?
Yeah.
And maybe diving right away can give you more options there, mm-hmm. but you have to know, like, what you're actually looking at. So going forward, like, just having that slight little bit of knowledge would change the way I would play my initial game. Not that it, like, I don't think I came in last.
No.
I think we were all pretty close in our scoring, though.
We were.
Like, it was there, so it wasn't like it would totally change my entire gameplay tactics. Yeah. But I would know which things I would look at and be able to make a more informed decision on that. But even so, it was like, you know what you can do right away.
Yeah.
And the instructions are very well done, I think, mm-hmm. compared to other ones. A few really good videos out there. I should have looked. I did not. I apologize. But if you Google this game and videos, it's like the first three are really good for how to play. I think it was a very straightforward game with a ton of facts. I really enjoyed this game. I kind of want to play it again right away.
I was just thinking, like, what would be my strategy next, and I would like to play it again too.
Yeah.
And your strategy, I think, fully depends on what you lay down for your first cards in front of you for the initial start.
Absolutely. Because I was kind of like staring at him going, oh, I don't know what I want to do. But then you have to consider too that you have your own discard pile, so you can always bring your cards back. And
so, I really like that part of the game.
Yeah, like, you can always bring your cards back, so you can bring them back in regards to being able to put them on your board later. Or I kept recycling one that I could use as a discard later that I knew I was never going to put on my board, but I kept bringing it back to use it.
I liked that you could discard yourself, because so often in these games, when you've got multiple cards in front of you, you're forced to do something, and sometimes you just can't do anything else, and you're forced to play cards, and you can't reap the benefits off of them, which happens in this game.
Yeah.
But you're not losing it like you are in other games. You can still bring back from your own discard pile, as well as grabbing new cards off of the community piles, which I like that feature of it, because you can look at it and go, you know what, like, this is a better card for overall what you're going to gain, but it's nothing for me right now. Blessings.
Sorry.
It's not going to do anything for me right now because, you know, it's a huge number or whatever, but I can discard it, and I can still bring that back later because there's multiple opportunities to bring cards back from the discard pile too, so it's not like, shoot, I hope I get an opportunity to bring something back. You're going to.
Yeah.
I like
you,
that.
Like, you can't reap the benefits now, but you know, like, going down the road, like, you'll be able to use it later.
Yeah, it's almost like an extension of your hand. Yes. You've got the cards that are out in front of you on your board. You've got the cards that are technically in your hand. And then those discards are also really, for all intents and purposes, still in your hand. There's just some limitations on how you can use them. So I really like that feature to it. I kind of wish more games would do that. That is one thing that I love. I love the deck building games, and I really enjoy ones like this with the interaction on the board and everything. But that is one thing that does frustrate me sometimes. It's like, not saying that that's a bad frustration. Like, sometimes making those decisions is what makes the game good. But I like that this one, you can go, all right, man, I really don't want to get rid of this. And when you, but I'm going to right now, and you don't have to go, shoot, man, that's the card that you really want. I have to throw it away because of a fluke in the lineup that they came. And that doesn't happen here.
That must have been something that they really considered when they were.
Also, when they were creating also the game. A whale's tail is called its fluke.
Nice.
Fish fuck.
My brain is just
so like an example of an example of like something that they thought of to help this game along is, and this is something that you guys probably didn't know because I set up the game, is that everybody gets two starter cards and then three off the deck. So those two starter cards are going to help you get going. So
even I didn't know that.
Even at a time where you may think, oh shoot. How am I going to get started? Like, they have the cards that are going to be able to help you kind of get there. Plus, you always start with two fish that are printed on the board. So if you need to dive to get something, or if you need your cards to interact with the fish that are there, you can get that and get going right away, which I think is really really smart way to do it.
This game is it's not like some games that first round is more or less just an extension of board setup.
Yeah.
And this one is not. Like, as soon as you start playing, you're playing.
Just
your
first get into
play,
it.
Yeah, your first play is strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like I said, Mike dove on his first one, and he was after me, and I, like, he's like, well, I'm going to dive. And I'm like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even think about that being an option.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you're not gaining much by doing it, but gaining the right things is, like, that's the whole part, and it made sense for him.
Yeah.
It probably would have made sense for me, honestly,
at
that point as well, if I would have thought it through. But, yeah, no, it's really cool. Like, as soon as you start, you're playing.
Yeah, so, like, even, like, the diving, sorry, we're kind of going forward, but I'm thinking of things as we go. Like, doing the diving, depending upon what column you're diving and where your fish are placed, too, you can get more cards to help you get going. You can get get the eggs, get the fish, like, and then it just, again, it just keeps everything flowing.
Then you have the opportunity based on those built-in cards that Kurt was talking about that are on the board already. You can cover them up to, like, enhance them for your points later, right?
Yeah, they're just
at the, like, end of the game. You don't even need to cover them up. You can utilize them going forward. So those were always really helpful.
Yeah, it's just one more of those things where you're starting already playing the game.
Yes.
Where those ones that are on the board, like, sometimes those initial starter cards are just, those are the ones you're just trying to get to a point where you can get rid of.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true in this game. Like, they give you real, like, there's real benefits to having them there. So you're, again, right in the middle of
where it's not taking you three rounds to actually get your wheels turning.
Right.
To take your turn or get rid of those trash cards.
Yeah, which I feel like that's pretty common with deck building games. You get your five whatever cards and it's just one star and they don't do anything. And it's like, man, I need to get rid, I need these out of my hand. Everything in your, everything has value in this game.
Yep.
Of different, and it's just how you patch it together.
Yeah.
Dive with it in your actual underwater zones, which are real.
Yeah.
So it's very cool.
Yeah.
I love this game.
Yep.
Kind of want to play it again.
I give it five fish out of five.
I think that's the set. We should have had a counter, like, at least twice now that you said I kind of want to play it again.
I do.
Right now.
Yeah. I want to throw that. I just need to do a rotation of, like,
so,
fin span, get wing span in there, worm span, earth. Like, what are all of the games like this?
So,
like,
you, it's your pick pretty soon, so we could play it again.
Oh, yeah. I already been thinking I might have to do earth again, though. Nice. To spend a week. We played that right after I started. That was one of the first games of this style where I was like, oh, hell yeah, these games are really fun. Like, bring out the earth nerd in me.
Yeah.
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 I think there's birds in that game, too, which makes me happy.
Of course.
Bonner Black, if you're listening.
And
sing a song.
I also feel like...
Little bird in a big sky.
What the heck is that?
There's more singing in this episode than I think has ever happened, which is great. And I also don't think you have to. I don't think you have to be a fish fan to play this game. It's just so well thought out.
Yeah, the zones and the numbers. Like, you could erase the actual fish off of everything and just go by size, number, location, and really play the game.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think that's a great feature of it. Is you don't have to be an animal nerd to love
they
this game.
They could do a flower one next. Like, what zones can you plant in?
Nice. Yeah.
Could.
TM.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nice, I like this game.
Yep.
I would play it again.
Counter number three. Since you can't see it like on the bottom of a TV show where they're doing a counter.
Yeah. All right, I think we've talked about it enough. Go check it out. Go to your local board game store. Grab a copy. You won't be disappointed because we haven't
support
been.
Local.
We weren't disappointed. So
yeah, shop local, yo.
That's right, shop local. All right, I think we're going to head out. Thank you for listening, and until next time.
We're going to go fishing.
Oh.
I might, actually.
Fish fact.
Fish fact.
Fish fact.
This is Kurt.
Northerns are covered in slime.
Oh, sexy.
That's a weird fish fact. Okay, until next time, I'm Kurt.
That's Kurt. I'm Tracy.
I'm Who's Jason.
That? That's Jazzy.
That's Jazzy. Jazzy Jason.
Jasophina.
All right, see ya.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.